We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's preview the Commanders season right now. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. This guy does a great job covering the team for NBC Sports Washington. You can also hear him Monday through Friday in the middays on the Fan 106.7, the Fan in our nation's capital. That's JP Finley. JP, appreciate the time. How you been?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. Thank you for having me. I was just telling your producer this. Some pretty bad weather here in the D.C. area, so if you hear anything crazy, don't be alarmed. We're all going to make it.
Well, you got it. How have the sewage pipes been so far at FedEx Field this year? I got to ask you.
So far, they're holding up. According to Dan Snyder, they made significant stadium upgrades, so we'll find out, I guess.
And I saw a little leakage from one reporter at that open practice, I guess, that they had. So I don't know how great the pipes have been so far.
It's an old stadium, and they haven't put a lot of money into it, so you can imagine.
That's for sure. So I know nothing really surprises you anymore with the Commanders, but this timing was bizarre, the firing of the defensive line coach, Sam Mills III. Can you give us some insight on why that decision was made?
You know, I can give you insight, but I can't give you insight on the timing. Frankly, and I'm not trying to be rude to anyone, but performance dictated that this guy get fired after 2 years. The Commanders have invested a ton into their defensive line, both in draft picks and salary cap. And last year, they didn't get enough back. I think there's a lot of talent there. I don't think the talent performed. And there's certainly a hierarchy of people to blame. And Ron Rivera would be at the top of that. And then I think Jack Del Rio would be the next step down. But the most immediate person attached to that defensive line was defensive line coach Sam Mills. And everybody remembers last year as the year Chase Young got injured, but he also only had a sack and a half in eight games before the injury. And they weren't very good against the run. Like, there was a lot that went wrong last year for the Commanders defense, and a lot of that started on the defensive front. And I actually even, I don't want to say advocated, but perhaps predicted Mills getting fired way back in January, but then it never happened. So him getting fired, I completely can wrap my head around. It was just a simple performance-based thing. Why it happened on August 9th, why it happened 4 days before the preseason opener, why Ron felt things came to a head now and it had to go down, I don't know. Ron's a pretty tight-lipped dude, and all he said was we had a difference of philosophy, and I thought now was the time to make a change. I can tell you that a ton of sources have informed me that players responded better throughout the last two seasons to assistant D-line coach Jeff Scanina that got the job. I don't know. At best, Ron recognized that there's a lot of pressure on this team and that there were no more excuses for why people weren't performing and decided to take away the excuse of, you know, perhaps the players and the position coach didn't get along. And maybe that puts the onus back on the pressures to perform. At worst, maybe there was an incident or some sort of kind of you know, spark that hit a powder keg that Ron couldn't tolerate. I don't know.
When we get to Chase Young, I got a chance to spend a day with him back at the draft, and he was hoping to be able to play week one, but really wouldn't shed much light on it. Has there been really any update on his status on when we could potentially see Chase Young coming on back after the ACL injury?
Oh, it's going to be a while. The only real update, it's been officially said that he won't play week one. Rivera said that. So I'm not holding my breath. I don't think anything – I've been saying all along, I think for Commanders fans, their best bet is to hope for Halloween, and if he's back sooner than that, be pleasantly surprised, because it's a guy that he blew out his knee the first weekend of November last year. I think it was either November 8th or 9th. And I know that some people are rehabbing and recovering quicker than a year, but still – that's about a year-long injury. Chase also had a situation where they had to take a piece of his left knee, of his good knee, and put it into his right knee. So it was almost a multiple surgeries. And I don't think a talent like that you want to push, and it doesn't sound like they are. And every official update you get is we have no timetable. And watching Chase at OTAs and minicamp and now at training camp, he doesn't look close to putting pads on and taking contact and really any sort of like lateral movement. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if we're at least a month away from even him being like ramped up, let alone getting on the active roster playing a game.
Let's get to the next down. J.P. Finley here with us talking about the Commanders. The rest of this defense, they're going to have to navigate a little bit without Chase Young, as you've been talking about. What do you look for with the rest of this Commanders defense this year?
Montez Sweat has looked great throughout camp, and he had a pretty good year last year before a broken jaw and then some personal stuff that really slowed his season down. His brother was killed. He got COVID. John Allen had a Pro Bowl year last year. He looked strong. I think Jerron Payne, going into a contract year, could really impress on that defensive front. Kendall Fuller on the back end is a veteran corner that has had a good camp. Cam Curl might be the most underrated member of this defense that isn't really a national name, but can absolutely play. I think their starting defense, I think, looks pretty good. They don't really have much/any depth if they sustain some injuries. There are definitely questions in the middle at linebacker, but by and large, I like what their defense has done so far, and they really have some continuity, and then a couple of young players that should be maturing to kind of let them get back to what folks were expecting after the 2020 season.
Let's get to the next down. J.P. Finley, do you have any confidence in Carson Wentz this year?
I mean, any confidence? Yeah. Are we talking relative to Washington quarterbacks or relative to quarterbacks across the NFL? I think is kind of the question there. Last year, Washington won 7 games with Taylor Heineke as its quarterback and a significant COVID outbreak late in the year and that against a really tough schedule. This year, you know, ideally crazy COVID outbreaks are over. Washington's schedule is much, much lighter. And I think Wentz physically and athletically is really, really gifted. He makes some bad plays here and there, but I personally think the narrative around him has kind of surpassed the reality. It is a guy that had almost a 4-to-1 TD to INT ratio last year. Like,
yeah, but he made some bad throws up against Tennessee, and then the last game of the season, I know the whole team crapped the bed, but that was inexcusable.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not arguing with you, but he made some bad throws. He made a fair amount of bad throws, but Washington didn't have really starting quarterback play. So they'll take a guy that ranks more or less middle of the pack in a lot of statistical categories. Last year, Indy with Carson Wentz went 9-8 and had a rather historic collapse in Week 18 to miss the playoffs. You move to the NFC, even if they go 9-8, which I think is entirely possible, they'll definitely make the playoffs in a bad NFC. So I think you could have the same results Carson produced last year, and just the finish line is much different where they are now. And they won't have a running back like John Taylor, but I think Washington has a lot more skill position weapons than Indy did beyond Taylor. I think Washington's defense should be pretty good. And, you know, as much as, I don't know, I'm weirdly like walking into this role as like a Carson Wentz apologist, but everybody wants to hammer him. And dude, that the game against the Jags was awful, and he wasn't good against the Raiders, and the left-handed interceptions and all that stuff are awful. But the way we talk about him, you think we're talking about a guy that threw 15, 18 picks. It's 7 picks on the year.
Well, you know what it also is, JP? And I got to cover him a little bit in Philadelphia, and I kind of laughed at all this stuff when it was first coming out, but then you keep on hearing more and more of it. I wonder how he is in the locker room, because you hear mixed reports about the way he gets along with teammates and maybe some of the sensitivity to some of his relationships.
Dude, I've heard it, and as soon as I see it, I won't be scared to say so.
Yeah.
But and let me add this. I think so far he's been a great teammate, and he's been great in the locker room. But it's also August 10th.
Yeah, it's
and
early.
Nobody's thrown an interception or lost a game or had a bad fumble or gotten a hit more than they expected. So, like, if he was a bad teammate now, if I was already hearing that from other players or coaches, guys I have, like, off-the-record real relationships with, then I'd be concerned. I mean, hell, if I was hearing that now, I'd be really concerned. But so far, there's none of that. He's been a model citizen, and everybody gets along with him, and he's done. He sees a pretty big media market. He's gotten a billion requests, and he's done them all. And there's not really much, if any, kind of diva-ness or attitude. And there's been a ton of quarterback turnover here, so I think the appetite for mediocrity slash average slash kind of good is so necessary that I really think there's a path. Philly is Philly, right? And it's a really tough media market that is used to good football. And then the Wentz saga up there was so bizarre, and he was playing so great. They won the Super Bowl. He came back. It didn't go well. They drafted Hurts. Like, that whole thing was so unique. Then you look at Indy, and they're used to elite quarterback play. I mean, they had Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Philip Rivers,
yeah.
Over the course of 18 years or whatever, right? And then Carson and the owner that got off on bad terms. Like, I don't know that you can look in all these situations in an envelope, but if you do, they all look fairly unique. Whereas DC, I mean, Kirk's a pretty good quarterback. They ran him out of town, like, because the owner didn't like him. RG3, they loved, but
injuries.
His body broke down. Yeah, like, I mean, this place is just a disaster when it comes to quarterback play for 3 decades.
Yeah, the one thing, though, J.P. Finley.
Maybe Wentz gets a chance. I don't know.
Like, I like this offense outside of the quarterback. Like, I've been a big fan of Antonio Gibson. How can't you love Terry McLaurin? If Samuel could stay healthy, he'll be good. Jahan Dotson looks like he could be a solid player. But when I look at the move, with all the quarterbacks that were out there, maybe it's hindsight is 2020. For a year, I'd rather have Jimmy G or Baker Mayfield, and it would have cost you a whole lot less than Wentz. Like, the return of Wentz, how we went for a swap of twos and then 2 threes that one could turn into a two, it's still mind-boggling to me where his stock was that they had to give up that much to get him.
That is an incredibly valid point. At the time they went and got Carson, all the rest of these dudes that became available hadn't yet. And I truly think Washington expressed interest in Watson, and they expressed interest in Wilson, and were basically told thanks but no thanks on both guys. And I think Ron Rivera and crew got a little desperate and just made a move to get somebody. And that's why, in hindsight, they overpaid. The guy I thought all along they should try to get was Matt Ryan. And the thought was, oh, he'll never come available, and then a week later he's available. So if you want to make the argument they overpaid or even got desperate to acquire Wentz, I think that's fair. I just think it's a little narrow-minded to suggest Wentz doesn't have anything to offer a franchise that won that is so far away from franchise quarterback play for the last 6-7 years, maybe 30 years. You know, he may not have value for the 49ers or the Chiefs, but here he might.
Let's get to the final down. Here's one that we've discussed in the offseason, and you said there's pressure on him. Now, there's so many other things that comes with covering this football team, and Ron Rivera is a well-respected guy, and I could never predict Dan Snyder. How hot of the seat, how warm is the seat for Ron Rivera this year?
Kind of cool, man. I mean, barring a nuclear meltdown of like a 3-14 season, I think Ron's fine. I think Dan's got so much going on. The organization has rebranded as incredibly diverse and inclusive, and they celebrate that they have a head coach of minority descent. I also don't know from a financial perspective what Ron's deal looks like, and I'm not sure Dan would be in a hurry to pay off the remaining years of that deal. And then lastly, I think Ron has a little bit of insulation. If things go poorly again, I think it will be because the defense again underperforms. And if the defense underperforms, Jack Del Rio's sitting there and it's his defense and it's been his defense and they were bad, you know, in 21 and then they're bad again in 22. And maybe there's a move to make there where Ron is just like, listen, I'm going to take over this defense. It's on me now. And that allows for more time.
Last thing I'll ask you, J.P. Finley. When you look at the NFC East, how far of a gap is it? And I know you said this team could go 9-8 in a weak NFC. I understand that. But how far of a gap is it between the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Commanders when you look at it?
I don't think it's nearly as far as a lot of people do. They last year, again, with a backup quarterback and a ton of injuries, they lost to Philly twice, but both games were really tight. They had the lead with like 6 minutes left in Philadelphia with Garrett Gilbert as their starting quarterback, who they had signed 2 days earlier. Dallas, they got shellacked when they went down there, but they had Dallas, you know, tight in the fourth quarter. I think Dallas lost some key components. I think the division is Philly's, assuming Jalen Hurts and that offense works. But I watched Washington 2 years ago in 2020 have a kind of subpar team, but play a ton of bad and backup quarterbacks and get on a hot streak late and win the division. And I look at what Philly did last year when they got hot and won a bunch of games and won and got into the playoffs. They beat a lot of really bad quarterbacks, man. So I'm not sure that I entirely buy Philly. I'm not saying that Washington's going to win it or predicting that at all, but I think those three teams are a lot closer than maybe some others do.
J.P. Finley, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Take care.
There you go, J.P. Finley joining us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.